Yes, God, Almighty Father and Mother, Creator, Sustainer, Giver of life and all good, what a blessed privilege it is to stand before you, aware that it's you who've called us here to this moment, you who have been holding us together in your love while we grow, and you who have been feeding us with your word, your Eucharist, and your truth. Lord, we're humble tonight in a Lenten way, with our hearts opener than most times, with our minds a little more quiet. And we ask your help in opening fully to your presence, to your action, and to the love we feel through your word as we rest in your love in silence. In Christ we pray.
Staying in that deep place of rest, we'll now rest with God and His Word. And for that, we'll just keep our minds opened and relaxed and listen with the ear of the heart for what the Holy Spirit, within her great love for each of us, would like us to know this evening for our transformation in Christ. Just a word or a phrase. Our first reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The people of Judah and the citizens of Jerusalem said, "Come, let us contrive a plot against Jeremiah. It will not mean the loss of instruction from the priests, nor the counsel from the wise, nor of the messages from the prophets. And so let us destroy him by his own tongue. Let us carefully note his every word. Heed me, O Lord, and listen to what my adversaries say. Must good be repaid with evil, that they should dig a pit to take my life? Remember that I stood before you to speak in their behalf, to turn away your wrath from them." The word of the Lord. Our psalm is 31. Save me, O Lord, in your kindness. Save me, O Lord, in your kindness. You will free me from the snares they have set for me, for you are my refuge. From your hands I commend my into your hands I commend my spirit. You will redeem me, O Lord, O faithful God. Save me, O Lord, in your kindness. I hear the whispers of the crowd that frighten me from every side, as they consult together against me, plotting to take my life. Save me, O Lord, in your kindness. But my trust is in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. In your hands is my destiny. Rescue me from the clutches of my enemies and from my persecutors. Save me, O Lord, in your kindness. I am the light of the world, says the Lord. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage. wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you're asking. Can you drink the chalice that I'm going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and to sit at my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and that the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it will not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of
understanding. Thich Nhat Hanh, in his book, The Heart of Understanding, tells the story of Lord Buddha. The Buddha is one day meditating in his cave. And he's in deep silence, and his servant, Ananda, is outside, and as Thich Nhat Hanh says, making herb tea in time for his master's break when he would come out of the cave. And just then Ananda, and by the way, Ananda means bliss, we know this. So bliss is the servant of the Buddha, which is clear mind, or I am the awakened one. Who are you? Are you God? No. Well, who are you? I'm awake. So awakeness is meditating, and bliss or happiness is serving him, when onto the scene comes strolling Mara, Buddha's ancient adversary. And Ananda sees evil coming, and he said, "You can't come here. My master is busy. He can't be bothered." And he goes on, and he says, "You're my master's ancient enemy." And Mara says, "Your master has enemies?" And just then the Buddha heard that his old friend Mara was out there. He says, "Is that my friend Mara? Tell him to come in." And so Ananda's very nonplussed at this and has to show Mara into Buddha's cave. And Buddha says, "How have you been, my old friend?" And Mara says, "Oh, it's tough. It's really tough being a Mara. All my disciples are out on peace marches and doing various civic projects, and it's really bad." And Ananda, listening in on this, is really disturbed because he thinks that maybe his master, in his infinite generosity, will trade places with Mara, and that Mara will become Buddha and Ananda will have to serve him. And there's the vignette. Now, we hear in tonight's psalm the story of enemies. And we hear Jeremiah talking about, "My enemies are on every side. They're seeking to do me in. They're digging a pit for me. They're going to take everything I say and twist it. I'm toast. Oh, God help me." And then the psalmist talks about these enemies. It goes on, "My refuge is in you, Lord, because my enemies assail me on every side." Now we must understand that if we take these texts as literally about external enemies, we haven't yet learned the great lesson that the East has got for us, which Father William was talking about last night. They have the genius for experiencing the oneness. Christianity has been preached from a point of view of duality, There's something, and then there's something else. There's something that's in, and there's something that's out. And there's something that's right, and there's something that's wrong. And what's wrong can easily have the effect of being in the presence of an enemy. And so when I get in the presence of difficult situations in the world, my enemy rises up, but not outside me, inside. And he begins to whisper, you know what we should say to that guy? You know what we ought to do about this? When I get home, I'm going to say, that's the adversary, as he's called in John's gospel, or the accuser, as he's also called in John's gospel, the opponent, as he's called in Kabbalah, and right here we have enemy. They all mean the same thing. That we have yet to meet the truth of Christ's oneness if we're still dealing at the level of messing with our enemies. And I'm not talking about messing with exterior enemies, because there aren't any. And there never were. Let's see if we can understand this. A little baby in the oceanic bliss of the womb. Everything is fine. And then it gets born. Now, if the mother brought the baby into this room and said to the baby, who are the enemies in this room? The baby would have no capacity to take that in or to do anything at all. And the baby that you were, and the baby that I was, and all probably up to the age of maybe 2, there weren't any enemies. And then maybe somebody bopped you with a toy, or you took their toy, or something happened, and bad feelings came, and all of a sudden the world was divided. The world which had been one, undivided whole, beautiful with color and sound, enchanting, has suddenly had a division put into it. There's me and there's other. But what we have done typically is taken that self and other dualistic appearance as though it was actually the case, as though we actually do have enemies to the spiritual journey. But there are no enemies on the spiritual journey, because God is our refuge. And it's perfectly safe for us to let go of our place in the peace marches, in the political arena. And I'm not saying don't do anything. We can participate while letting go of what Hawkins calls positionalities. Positionalities that set one thing up against another in a dualistic play that has no resolution, because resistance to resistance just makes more resistance. And so Lord Buddha invites Lord Mara, the Lord of bad stuff, come on in, we're one, I love you. And Christ, in his own way, takes the evil into himself. The evil that was karmically accumulated by the human race, the evil that shows itself in persecution, in oppression of minorities, the lack of care for people with mental and emotional diseases, all of that stuff is the evil that Christ in some way was faced with trying to do something about. You could solve all this, Jesus. And he says, this is God's world. You could get this straightened out, Jesus. You could accumulate all wealth and fame, Jesus. God takes care of all that. I take care to be in God before I dare to even begin to touch his world, before I dare to judge his world as needing something fixed in it, because the brokenness is not in the world. The world has always been the world. It's just like this. The accusation of other is in me. All these bad guys, these guys who blow up other people's houses or bulldoze houses of people who have lived on land for centuries, all that goes on and on and on and on. It just takes somebody to oppose opposition, and to oppose that opposition, and on and on and on it goes, until someone takes it into herself or himself to let the whole thing go. There's a Hawaiian kahuna prayer method called Ho'oponopono that some of us have studied and practiced. And in this practice, one returns to the state of the infancy that was clear of judgments, clear of accumulated resentments, clear of the accusation that the other is doing something wrong. In this Ho'oponopono, we individually take responsibility for everything we see. The whole world before me and all the people in it, no matter what they are doing, is either mine to judge or mine to love. And in Ho'oponopono, we simply say, looking at the world, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And instead of accusing the world of being false, we take responsibility for the entire world we see. And we give our life, the life that was made up of the accusations, remember the little kid that didn't have any of that? On top of that innocence, on top of that non-judgmental presence, we have piled layer upon layer upon layer of collective insanity, and we're looking at the world through the fractures in our own personal consciousness. Judge not by appearances is not a good suggestion for people that are nice to become nicer. You can't judge it by appearances because the appearances are always dualistic. They never, ever have enough oneness in them. So here's the East with this endless oneness and no way to land it. And here's the West, fully landed, but aware of oneness as a theory, but not experiencing that oneness in our hearts. And the combination of them both allows for something that we know as a theological assertion called the Trinity. The Trinity is a means of participating in the now and the forever all at the same time. The Trinity is the means by which the Spirit of God can move in through the physicality of a human being and be moved beyond self-interest, moved beyond the idea that somebody who's different is my enemy, that somebody has less is trying to get my more. All of that, friends, all of that that we protect and that we deny, all of that will not go with us when we pass from this plane. And so the attempts to make other stand up to God's scrutiny are foiled, because there's only one thing here, and it's life itself in all its various disguises. Life itself, without enemies, who uses sin, uses opposition, we call it second force in the work, for the creative activity that's going on in the evolution of the earth and its animals and the human population. To question God's purposes is the dumbest thing we could possibly do. As though our reasons from our time on the earth's evolution, from our own socioeconomic point of view, all of that gives us knowledge. This is right. This is true. These are wrong, and I've got to close my heart to them. We don't realize those images of all the humans suffering, all the ways there are to suffer, are in our own consciousness. The baby did not know it. We had to learn to say something's wrong here. We had to learn to say, if there were a God, these things wouldn't happen. These are human stratagems for staying in the feeling of security and rightness. But the Christ says, take it into yourself. Let go of all your judgments. Because you know what? When I started examining my personality, and you might see it in yours, my personality is made of judgments. Not that, I'm not that, I'm not that, I'm this, not like him, not like her. And all of a sudden, a little innocent baby is surrounded by a curtain or screen of logic. And logic that's denying life is not alive. So how do you get back to that baby state? How do you follow Jesus in the regeneration, in the ascension, resurrection? You die. Father William was absolutely explicit about it last night, and it's so funny, because he said, you know, God takes care of all this. Our part is just to suffer. Oh, that's surely not the American ideal, is it? No, but it's the Christic ideal, because it's the way to put the judgments of the world down. They don't belong to us, and they're not true. They're subjective assertions that we overlay our perceptions with and look through as though those things were out there. They're not. This whole dance, this whole cosmic dance that's going on in the world, including wars and the things I deplore most, animal cruelty and slavery, all of that, you can hear it almost summed up in one word, a couple words from Jesus. The poor are always with us. But I am not with you, always with you. Well, now what does he mean? He always says, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. Well, we've got 70 here, more or less, for each of us to get it. He is the story here. He's the middle term that lets us bear the world and an infinite forgiveness, just like St. Stephen did. Yesterday was Saint, or was it today? St. Stephen's Day, our proto-martyr, the very first martyr, who gave it up in the same way Jesus did. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. No one in the world knows what they're doing until they wake up. And if they really awake and they see what they were doing, they'll know that the other ones don't know what they're doing either. And we will join a long line of mystics and saints who likewise died to their judgments of the world and were born to the Christ within them, the risen presence of the living one. That presence wants to come to the world. His light wants to shine out of every heart. But until we realize that these evil and wrong things we think are out there are in our heads, whispering innuendos, encouraging us to act this way or think that way. Last night, William said it over and over again. You're not your thoughts. You're not your feelings. You're not your sensations. You can't be conceived in a thought or a word or an image or an action. You are the living one. There's only the living one feeling and knowing and looking out of every one of our hearts and our eyes. But if a feeling of evil and otherness is overlaid on what we see around us, it'll never be let go out there. It's in here. We die. We die to our assertion of knowing what's going on here. We die to our feeling that everybody is against us, because they are. And they're in here. They're all in here. It is a beautiful, quiet, and lovely world until the chatterer begins his endless chattering of accusation and objection and criticism and doubt and uncertainty. He's the liar and the father of all the other lies. He says there's something other. Paul tells us there's nothing other. Lord Buddha tells us there's nothing other. Jesus Christ, I am the one. Yeah, there's only one. I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in the Father. Now, where's the enemy now? So the little baby didn't have any enemies, couldn't have imagined such a thing as an enemy. The older person that you and I become as we prepare to put down the body will likewise be mellowed, likewise be wizened by the experience of life just going on without the kind of logic we'd like to apply to it. And we'll surrender. And like many of the friends I have that have gone that way, they've lost their minds and they just didn't mind anymore. If you want to see your mind, notice what you mind. Amen. Amen. The love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ is now and always with us. Amen.